Revelation 19, verse 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Want us to consider this morning the idea, the kind of a wife that Christ wants his wife to be. Before we get into the lesson, I want to express my thanks for everyone that is here, especially your visitors. I want to add, it was a little bit quieter than usual. I think everybody was on their good behavior when you came in. If you have any questions about what we do, what we don't do, feel free to ask. We strive to just follow God's word and be the church that you can read about in the New Testament. So, the kind of a wife that Christ wants his wife to be. When Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus in chapter 5, he said that Christ is coming back for his bride, the church. The church is the bride of Christ. There's this concept of a marriage, and we can learn a lot about the church, about heaven, about Christ, about God from marriage. Marriage is a covenant relationship. It's a legal relationship. Two parties enter into this covenant, this agreement. There are rights, there are duties, there are blessings, there's obligations. But it's not just do this and don't do that. There's love and affection. And a husband has certain expectations for his wife. And without saying too much, you start talking about husbands and wives and you can get into trouble. But I think we all understand, just as a wife has expectations for her husband, a husband has expectations for his wife. So I want us to consider some of these expectations, some of these things that Christ wants us to do to be the right kind of wife. First, Christ wants his wife to love him. John 21:15, Christ is not talking about wives here, but he's talking to Peter and talking about loving him, wanting Peter to love Christ. He says that when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Christ wants his disciples, he wants his bride, he wants his church to love him. Each of these different words for love here is a little bit deeper and stronger meaning. But Simon got the picture. He was to love Christ. We are all to love Christ. In Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. So here we have love again as it's talking about a husband and wife and the church. Christ loved the church so much that he was willing to lay down his life and die for it. He gave his life for all of us. with that, the other side of that coin is, with Christ doing that, he wants us to submit to him. He has the right, by what he has done, for us to submit to him, to follow his word, to do what he says. And again, not just do it out of a sense of duty, not just because he said do it, but because we love him. We love him. And the kind of a wife that Christ wants his wife to be is a wife that loves him. This is nothing new. You go back to the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk in the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. What is the greatest commandment? The greatest commandment is to love God. How much? To love him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our strength. And that is, there are many reasons why we should do that. I mean, he is worthy of that. But then that also is a great protection for us. Because when we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we don't have any love for the devil. But if we only love God 90-95%, and we don't love him all the way, that leaves the door open, that 5%, for Satan to come in. Satan to come in, and he's happy with 5%, because he knows that you're not pleasing to God then. Christ wants his wife to love him. He wants us to love him more than the things of the world. That doesn't mean we cannot enjoy the things of the world, but when there's a choice between the things of the world and Christ, we're going to choose Christ every time. And I talk about it often and more and more, but it's just time goes so fast. We know so many people that have died. I think back in my family, and there are fewer and fewer. And then I think one day I will not be here. None of us will be here. And when we look at eternity, and we look at whatever time that we spend here on this earth, it's just going to be, it won't even show up as a pin dot. This time is so brief. And how much do we love God? And friends, that is the greatest protection that we can have, and something that will help us to live for eternity in heaven. Well, what kind of a wife does Christ want? He wants a wife to be attractive. Not necessarily physically attractive, but an attractive person. Christ wants his wife to have a personality. Sometimes we talk about somebody being a stick in the mud, or all of these sayings where they're just so dry. Christ wants his wife to have a personality. Christ wants his wife to be friendly. Christ wants his wife to be kind. Christ wants his wife to be humble. Christ wants his wife to be compassionate. Christ wants his wife to be gentle, to be lovable. These are qualities that make someone attractive. You want to be around somebody that's friendly. You want to be around somebody that's kind, compassionate. Whatever you need, I'll take care of it for you. Don't you worry about this, I'll take care of it. Let's do this, let's do that. Gentle, lovable, that is attractive. Christ wants his wife to be attractive. Paul, in writing to the Galatians, in Galatians chapter 5, he says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And he goes on with that, but he talks about the fruit of the Spirit, those things that we manifest in our life that will make us God-like and make us attractive. You want to be around people that have joy in their life. You want to be around people that are long-suffering. They'll put up with you. You want to be around people that are kind, that are good, that are gentle, that have self-control. Have you ever been around somebody, maybe you've worked with somebody that was like a bomb and you didn't know when they were going to go off? They'd be talking to you real nice and talking about this and that, and then something come up and it's like they switch into this other personality and they explode, and then you aren't sure if you can go back and talk to them. That's not being attractive. And when we talk about being attractive, and I said it's not physical, so how much time do we spend making ourselves physically attractive? How much time do we spend in front of a mirror making sure we have our hair combed, this taken care of, that taken care of? How much time do we spend on our physical body to make ourselves attractive, or at least not so repulsive on some days? We spend a fair amount of time. How much time do we spend in this mirror looking into God's Word to know how to make ourselves attractive? That's the kind of wife that Christ wants to have. He wants to have an attractive wife. Christ wants his wife to be loyal to him. Christ does not just want a wife that just wants him when emergencies arise, when something comes up, and the rest of the time the wife says, well, I don't need you, but here something has happened and now I need you. Christ doesn't want that kind of wife. He wants one that wants to be loyal to him. He does not want a wife that just, again, when emergencies arise. Unfaithful Christians break the heart of Jesus. Back to Deuteronomy 6, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt have no other lovers before me. Thou shalt have no other love before me. God wants us to love him with all of our heart. When we go back to the Old Testament, Hosea comes to mind. Hosea the prophet, that God wanted him to understand what it was like to have an unfaithful wife. And God told Hosea to go and marry a harlot. Hosea 3:1, then the Lord said to me, go again, love a woman who is loved by a lover and is committing adultery, just like the love of the Lord for the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love the raisin cakes of the pagans. God did everything for his people. When they were in bondage in Egypt, he brought them out of Egypt. He led them through the land to go into Canaan. It took longer than expected because of their unbelief, not because of God, but because of their unbelief. They had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. When they went into the land, God told them to utterly destroy everybody there, the seven nations. He didn't want them marrying foreign wives. They didn't obey God. They left the people there. They married these foreign gods, these foreign women that worshiped idols. And then these idols caused the Israelites to go a whoring after these other gods. And then they didn't love God. And it, going back to being loyal, there's one thing when we disobey God, we are not being loyal to him. But when we disobey God, it breaks his heart. When we sin, it breaks his heart. Because we're talking about a husband-wife relationship, the closest relationship you can have on the earth, compared to Christ in the church and us in Christ. Hosea 13:4, yet I am the Lord your God ever since the land of Egypt, and ye shall know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. You go back to the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other God before me. God is a jealous God. We understand that. We understand that in the husband and wife relationship. A wife does not want her husband to be out flirting around with women. A husband does not want his wife to be out flirting around with men. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. God is a jealous God. That's the kind of wife that Christ wants his wife to be. He wants us to be devoted to him. Not the things of the world, not involved in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. He wants us to be committed to him. And people will say, well, those things are fun. There's pleasure in them. And I will not deny that. There is pleasure in sin, but it's the passing pleasure of sin. It's temporary. And people get involved in this sin and that sin, and they get deeper and deeper in it. And you ask somebody, I did ask somebody, how could somebody be over here at this point? And he said, Bruce, you don't understand. They started back here. And that didn't satisfy him. So they had to do a little bit more, and then a little bit more, and a little bit more, and a little bit more. And now they end up over here. That's the nature of sin. It's deceptive. It's pleasurable back here. It's destructive over here. Christ wants us to be loyal to him. Christ wants his wife to help him in his business. A good wife will be interested in her husband's business and work. Man has never had a better partner and a helper than a good wife. Back in Genesis 2:18, the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. That help meet means suitable, someone suited to help him. The wife is to help the husband. God made Eve for a wife and a helpmate for Adam. Some men have wives that hurt their business. And we've probably all seen some marriages like that. The husband, a good man, trying to do what's right, trying to do whatever it is, and his wife just undermines him. Christ wants his wife to be like him, and like him in several different ways. Christ wants his wife to be like him in love. John 13:34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. He doesn't say people will know that you're my disciples if you wear a shirt that says disciple of Christ, or if you wear a cross, or if you do this or that. He says if you show love to one another as I have loved you, people are going to know that you're my disciples. Christ wants his wife to be like him in forgiveness. Matthew 6:14, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You stop and think, you see two people at odds with each other, and this person will not forgive that other person because they did something wrong to that person. Friends, how many times have we wronged God? How many times just in the last week have we wronged God? The last week, the last month, the last year. How many times in our lifetime have we wronged God? And how many times do we want Him to forgive us? Well, you got to forgive me, God. You got to forgive me every time. He doesn't got to. We've got to confess and repent and change from what we were doing wrong. But we want Him to forgive us. And Christ wants a wife to be like Him in forgiveness, where we are willing to forgive others. And it's sad. You see, some people grow up buddies, and at some point in their life, something happens and they stop speaking. Or people in families grow up and brothers don't speak, and brothers and sisters don't speak, parents and children don't speak, and it's sad. I've said it before, this one speaker, business motivational speaker, he said, if you want to make it in life, you got to learn to say, I am sorry, I was wrong. You learn to say those six words, and life will be a whole lot better. If you don't learn to say those, you're going to have grief in your life. Christ wants His wife to be like Him in mercy. Luke 6:36, therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Christ wants His wife to like the things that He likes. And it's a sad sight to see a husband involved in something good, involved in eternal things, and his wife has no interest in it. Now, I'm going to use a phrase, I don't normally use it, but I think it gets the point across, and that is the phrase, go to church. You don't read about going to church. We come to worship, we come to study God's word. You don't go to church, but we all understand what that means. People talk about going to church, painting the church, doing this at the church, doing that at the church. That's not what you can read about in the Bible, but we understand that terminology, going to the church. Well, Jesus likes to use that phrase, to go to church. He likes to go to church. And Luke 4:16, so He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up, and as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Where was Jesus? Where could you find Him on the Sabbath? In the synagogue. Where was Paul on the Sabbath? You could find Him in the synagogue. When He would go on His missionary journeys to another city, He would look for the synagogue where there would be other worshipers. Jesus Christ wants His wife to be like Him. Christ wants His wife to go to church. Christ wants His wife to be in worship. And it's sad when you see someone, a wife, that is not. And I don't want anybody to think that I'm talking about a husband and a wife out there somewhere else. We've got to understand we are the bride of Christ. You are the wife of Christ. Christ has expectations of His wife. Christ has expectations of you. Men and women, we are the bride of Christ. We are the church. Christ wants us to love Him. Christ wants us to be attractive. Christ wants us to be loyal to Him. Christ wants us to help Him in His business. He's got a lot of business to do. He needs us to help Him. Christ wants us to be like Him. But friends, it all starts with becoming a Christian, becoming a member of the church to be His bride. Revelation 19:7, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. Friends, have you made yourself ready for the groom? He's coming back. He's coming back one day. Either we are going to die and be carried into paradise and await the judgment, or he is going to come back and we are going to meet him. The question is, are we ready? Are we the kind of wife that Christ wants to have? Friends, if there's anyone that needs to respond, needs prayers, needs to respond to the gospel in any way, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.